Before we get started, I want to do just a little bit of testifying, maybe bringing out a few things that God has put in my heart through the years. If I make it till June the 6th, I'll be in the ministry 56 years. And God sent me to Donovan, Missouri when I was about 5 years into the ministry, and he put some things in my heart. And some of them begin to happen now. But one thing he had, we went all through the country up in there, and we had great revivals, and people's coming to me now that got saved in those revivals and everything. But we've been there at the campground 50 years, and this will be our 50th year of youth camp that we've had there, and 50 years of camp meetings, and we have two of them a year. So we've had quite a bit, but the thing that God told me when I went there was we was having all these revivals, and I built the campground so people would have a place to come and worship God and have an in gathering for a week. And people's kind of got out of the mind of camp meetings anymore, but they need to get back in the mind of that, because we need to put forth every effort, and you help us and pray with us. And you put it forth an effort. Come to camp meeting this year. But the thing was to take the message out. Nearly every town up there, I had revivals, and I'd have from 15 to 100 and some people saved in every revival. One I remember in particular, just an old Brush Arbor revival, 127 got saved. But I kept back all the tapes that I preached through the years. When I came through the door today, this brother here said, "I've been reading those messages in the messenger." Well, those messages are really messages that people really need to read, because they're in a depth, and I'm trying to make them where they can be explained, where people can understand. But the thought of it was to take the message out to the people, all the churches, like I'm doing this morning. Then they would become an in-gather, and that's what the vision was. Now, some folks have lost the vision with us down the line someplace or other. And, of course, all this New Age movement, everything's had a mess with it. How many knows that? The whole world's in a mess. But that's a good time for us to go to work and help get it straightened out. We need to be God's helpers. So the plan was, and what God showed me, was take the message out and it'll come back. How many knows you cast your bread upon the waters and it's going to return to you? We want to really get down to business and pray about these things, because this is not me. It was God who showed me that. And we've had no telling how many thousands of people even and youth saved there at the campground in 50 years. You take a youth camp and have 30 or 40 youth saved in 50 years, you've got a pretty good crowd. And I meet them all over the country, in other states, even as far out as California and Oregon and places like that. Got saved at that youth camp. And this year there was a man run for Congress. His name is Jason Smith. You know that boy? Got elected. And the thing that he put in the paper up there, that some of the fondest memories that he had of Ripley County, was that he got to come to Bible Way Youth Camp and hear about God. Now he put that in the paper. Now he's in Congress up there. And, you know, we can put people in there like that. His dad called me and said, "My son's running for this Congress. I want you to vote for him." I said, "Yeah, and I'll get everybody else around here and get to vote." But he made it in flying colors. But there's a lot of things that if we'll begin to pray and seek God. And back to this brother said that he'd been reading those, and there was plain where people can understand. Now, recently, God has begun to give me some more simple messages, but they go deep, deep, deep. You know, some of the things that we look in the Bible, we just put it as a word, and we don't get very deep in it, but it's really deep. Now, what I'm going to preach this morning is on one word, emptiness. Emptiness. Recently, God spoke to my heart. I was looking around, and I seen lots of empty pews. And I began to think, and God began to speak to my heart to preach on emptiness. You know, emptiness is one of the saddest things that we can be, is be empty. Be empty, you know, just be empty. But when we cover emptiness, it means a whole lot. Number one, emptiness means void. It's the same thing as void. Well, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was what? Void. Well, God fixed that. After he got he said, let there be light, and there was light. So it wasn't void anymore, so he began to put things together. And he made man in his own image. He said, let us make man in our own image. Now, man wasn't put here to be empty. Man was put here to be full. Full of what? Full of God. So emptiness and being full is exactly opposite, and they oppose one another. So emptiness is void, number one. God breathed in the nostrils of this man the breath of life. Now he was no longer empty. But man sinned and lost that first estate, which was life. Because the day he eat of that tree, he died and was empty again. You know, anything's dead's empty. You know, one thing about it, I got to sit on the place where Jesus lay in the tomb there in Israel about 42 years ago. I got to go over there, and I got to sit there, and I thought, yeah, this tomb is empty. But I looked around, and I saw empty people and empty pews. And I began to listen to preachers preach on the TV and different things, and they had a message, but it was empty. It didn't have power in it. It didn't have no anointing upon it. It didn't have no authoritative message in it. It was empty. So God spoke to me and said, yeah, empty preachers create empty people and churches with empty pews. So God is dealing with us to get off of this empty thing and get into the fullness of something. And I'm going to get on what the fullness of it is, because emptiness is a terrible thing. Emptiness brings terrible feelings, and we don't know what it is that we feel, but it creates so many things and is caused from the sin of neglect. From the sin of neglect, it's emptiness. You know, we can neglect to pray, to assemble ourselves together. We can neglect to study. How many of the Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved? Workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're to study, we are to pray, we are to receive the word of God, we are to bring in an activity that the five wise and five foolish virgins in the 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, five of them, their vessels were empty. The other five had a little, but they had neglected. Guess what that neglect caused? They all went to sleep. So the church is asleep today because of neglect. And the church is empty today because of neglect. You know why? Because we've all been asleep to a certain extent. But God's going to wake us up. And these things that's going on all over the world right now, God is trying to wake the whole world up. And he's trying to wake people up. We need to get rid of this emptiness in the church, emptiness in our life. What does emptiness really cause? I'll tell you what it causes. Number one, it causes us to go to sleep. Number two, it causes depression. A lot of folks running to the doctor and getting this pill and that pill and that something. All they need to do is get full of God and quit neglecting and get rid of the emptiness that's on the inside of them and refills them. What else does it cause? It causes people to be nervous. You know why? Because they're hunting something. They don't know what it is. It's just something. You ever hear somebody say, there's just something wrong. I don't feel like everything. Well, sure, it's caused from emptiness. Our minds should be full of the Word of God. Our spirit should be full of the Spirit of God, ready to let it flow. As John 7:38 said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, and God has given me a revelation on that recently. It's going to take a book or two to write that. The Holy Ghost. People have misunderstood who he is, how he came in the name of the Lord, and how Jesus was glorified, and he sat down at the right, but we'll get into that later. But I want to get more on this here part that we're in here now. It causes a troubled spirit, and it causes us to be double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why does it cause us to be that way? Because we're empty and we're searching for something and we don't know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's caused from emptiness. There's an empty spot. Now, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow what? Rivers of what? Living water. That ain't emptiness. It doesn't come from emptiness. It comes from rivers of living waters that's on the inside of us. And it will flow and we'll feel good when we get. You know, a lot of times, in me being in the ministry, I thought, well, I don't feel just right. Something wrong. Well, I go get the Bible out and pray about an hour or two. And, wow. I feel good. You know why? Because I filled up. I'm no longer empty. The rivers are flowing. The Word is being absorbed in my spirit and in my soul, and I no longer feel empty. I'll tell you, it's caused nerve problems. And a nerve pill is not going to help it. It may put it off for an hour or so, but then it'll be worse when it comes back. How many knows that? I mean, if anybody takes nerve pills, I'm not preaching to you. I don't know anything whether you do or not, but that's not the answer. It causes anxiety. We're over-anxious. We're always in a hurry. The devil will get us too worried to sit down and read the Bible, to sit down and pray, and to be calm. You know, through all these things with the troubled spirit, anxiety, nerve problems, and depression, and all this from the sin of neglect, then it causes us to become angry. And some folks even get angry with God. God, you're supposed to do this, and God, you're supposed to do that. And what he's trying to tell us with this emptiness in us, and you're supposed to be full, he said, and not empty. Be full of what? Be full of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God which is on the inside of us, which should be in there. So, anger. Then we become one that's easily hurt. Just anything anybody does hurts them. People that's had problems and they come and any message you preach would hit them. Say amen or oh me. There was a lady came to a fellowship meeting that we had in DeSoto, Missouri recently, and right away, you know, she's had a burr in her crawl toward me for a long time, but I haven't had to her, but I noticed it, and everybody else noticed when I began to preach that she swelled up. She withdrew. And somebody's asked me something about it, said, maybe you preached something. I said, anything I would have preached, she would have felt that way. You know why? Because her feelings. It was a natural feeling. He's going to preach at me. No, there was maybe close to 100 people there maybe that I was preaching to, and it wasn't just to her. So sometimes we single ourselves out when we're empty and don't get the message. I guarantee you she didn't get anything that I preached, and it was a message that would really helped her, but she never got anything because her mind was on I don't like him. Therefore, she's empty. And emptiness creates wrong thoughts. The emptiness that will create wrong thoughts in our mind towards each other. In other words, sometimes if we're empty of the things of God, someone seems to be a little bit withdrawn, and we get the wrong thought about it. You know why? All these things, and that's just part of them, because we might be empty. Hebrews chapter 2, let's turn there. Emptiness is the offshoot of neglect. It's caused by neglect. And what does Hebrews chapter 2 tell us? It's talking about emptiness. The scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, it said, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that is lame be turned out of the way. See, God wants to heal people, but our actions sometimes and our unbelief, you know, it's because of their unbelief sometimes. Unbelief is part of this thing too. Jesus said he couldn't do the things that he would in his own country because of what? their unbelief. It wasn't his unbelief. It's their unbelief. I'll tell you, everybody sitting before me here this morning, if you're not believing things, let's believe it. Let's get on the believing line instead of the doubting mind. Let's get on the mind of Christ, not a double mind. That's the wrong standard. Now, let's read here in Hebrews chapter 2. And it said, therefore, we are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience had a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? All these things I give is part of salvation. Salvation which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Now how shall we escape if we neglect what? So great a salvation. If we neglect to go to church. If we neglect to pray. If we neglect to study. If we neglect, how the man knows we're supposed to pray one for another. If we neglect to pray for somebody. You know, when somebody's going through a trial and through a test, we ought to all join together, and I mean seriously pray for whoever's going through that problem. Somebody said, but I don't like them. Well, didn't the Bible say pray for them that despitefully use you? So just pray for them. God is really dealing with people about these terrible feelings that people have. I talk to them all the time. How are you today? I don't know. I just don't feel good. Are you sick? No, I just something that don't feel good. Well, there's something there that needs to be remedied then. And it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing, but it'll get to be a sickness of the mind first, and then it'll get to be a sickness of the body, and you think you got something wrong. I know people that's thought they're going to have a nervous breakdown until they had one. They're going to lose everything they got. They lost it because they had their faith in reverse. In reverse. Now, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The answer is we got to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. In Revelations 1, 2, and 3, those chapters deal with seven churches. They all had different problems, but they had one solution. One, you know, they said, we're rich, we don't need nothing to do it, we're just got it made, you know. Jesus said they were poor, wretched, miserable, naked. So they just had their mind on all these things, and they had some things that they needed to get straightened out. And he said to them, every one of them, all seven churches got this message, he that hath an ear. You know, you got to develop this ear. This ear is an inner ear. It's not this ear here. This ear hears it carnally from the book, but it transmits it and it changes into spiritual on the inside of us. But we've got to develop an ear on the inside of us that we can hear what the Spirit has to say. See, this ear will hear what everybody's got to say. Huh? Yeah, tell me more. You know, a lot of folks today, you know, they're listening to garbage and they say, now tell me more. What else did they say? But you see, that's not the ear that we hear. And the ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And when we hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, we'll hear what John heard. You know why? Because Revelations 1:10, John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I looked behind me and I heard a voice. And he heeded that voice, and God gave him the message for all seven churches. Was he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say to the church. If Brother Williams is hearing what the Spirit says, I'm hearing what the Spirit says, Brother Jack's hearing what the Spirit says, and the rest of you's hearing what the Spirit says, we're all hearing from the same source, and we're all hearing the same thing. Don't tell me God's all messed up. It's the church and it's us messed up because of our hearing, because of our neglect. Huh? How many believes God meant it when he said for us to do something? He meant it. You know, he'll not whoop us with a cat of nine tails, but he meant it. So let's go a little bit further here with this. You know, Luke 18:1 said that men ought always to pray and not faint. How about if we neglect to pray? That's the big one right there. If we pray, it puts us in contact with God. And when we get in contact with God, then meditation comes. And Psalms 1:1-3 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, not his neglect, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Devil can't stop it. You know, that's satisfactory with me, isn't it, you? We got, every one of you got the devil fighting you some way or other. But if you just shout your way on through it, I'll tell you, it stops him. It stops him. So, we're to be obedient. We neglect to be obedient, as Adam and Eve did. Matthew 7:24 said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. That rock is Jesus. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to the wise man that built his house upon the rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I liken him to the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When the rain descended, when the flood came, when it beat upon that house, the house that was built upon the sand, it fell. You know, every one of us ought to be building on the rock. You can't go wrong building on the rock. And if you're building on the rock, you're hearing what he says, you're doing what he says, and you're hearing what he says. You know why? Because he that heareth these things of mine and doeth them. Now, I want to go back to the 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. I just can't get away from that. But before we go there, I want to stop at Matthew 12, and we're talking about something else empty. Now, anything that's empty is going to finally be filled with something. It won't stay a vacuum. And man himself, in all the stuff that I've talked about, in all his problems and hurts and anguish and all these kind of things, he's going to fill up with something he don't need. So it says here in Matthew 12:43. See, emptiness is a terrible thing. It's a dangerous thing. See, because you're going to fill up with something. The reason that the churches got into this New Age movement and counting on rock music and all this junk that they're doing is because the church was empty. And they feel like that will satisfy what they need. Now, it satisfies the flesh. Emotionalism always satisfies the flesh. But you see, it takes the Spirit to satisfy our spirit and our soul. It takes the Spirit. Zechariah 4:6. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now I want you to look here what it says here in Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that means he's clean. It's not there no more. It's empty. He walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. See, that spirit that came out, he walking through dry places now, and he's seeking rest, and he find nothing. Because what he had in this person, he had that this person was doing what he wanted him to do. He was causing him to feel troubled. How many got that? But when this unclean spirit goes out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He was caused the man that had this spirit to bear all this thing, but now he's out there, and now he's trying to find rest. He's out there in the air, the prince of the power of the what? The air. And he's trying to find rest, and he don't find anything, so he's going to go hunting someplace that he can put this off on somebody else. So here's what happened. Then he saith, I will return into the house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty. How many could see that? When the bad spirit comes back, that spirit of unrest, because he's trying to find rest, that spirit that's troubled, that spirit that has all these terrible feelings, that spirit that has all these things that we named a while ago, neglect, depression, anxiety, trouble spirit, anger, hurt, wrong thoughts, and all these kind of things. He comes back and he finds this vessel empty, swept, and garnished. It's in good shape. You know what it's in good shape for? It's ready to receive the things of God. But here comes this thing back in there, and he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I want you to decide here, are we living in a time of a wicked generation? Now, I remember the Great Depression, nearly every bit of it. Don't remember the first year or two of it, but I remember the rest of it. I remember what our nation went through, and they had Brush Arbor meetings up every holler and over there in southern Missouri, and probably did down here in Arkansas, people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. God visited everybody with the Holy Ghost in those days, and that was something new. They said they're throwing powders on them and everything else, you know, because they didn't understand what was going on, the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost was visiting our nation. Then came war, and we wasn't ready for war. But God fixed it where we won the war. And then this generation that won the war, and it was in the Great Depression, everything comes through all this, toughened in, ready to receive something. And how many remembers after World War II, our nation went through a great revival? Oral Roberts, Jack Cole, A.A. Allen. And I was preaching maybe 8 or 10 years after that, and I got to be in this great revival, you know, and preach revivals where all these people were saved up there in Missouri. No telling how many hundreds or thousands were saved, even under my ministry, at camp meetings and all those kind of things, all these things. And so now, and they call that the Great Generation. Tom Brokaw, one of the news media, wrote a book. I've got the book, The Great Generation. You know why it was called The Great Generation? Because it went through the depression. It went through the hard time. It came out with a revival. Biggest part of it. It went through the war. And everybody, you know, they had prayer meetings in churches. The prayer rooms would be bigger than this building here. One church in Texas done away with their auditorium, had a prayer meeting, and built a new auditorium. So they could have that much space for people to pray. You know what they were praying about? They was praying, God deliver us. God help us. God save my son. Lord, do something to my son. He's over there. He's fighting and all those kind of things. And so they came through, and it's called a great generation. But now we've got everything in the world coming against the blessings of God. We got same-sex marriage. I don't have it. You don't have it. It's not of us. It's like John said in John 2:19. They went out from us, but they was not of us. If they'd have been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be manifest that they were not of us. Now, I'm not any part of that church out there that's got all this wrong stuff in it. That's got a homosexual standing in the pulpit. I'm not part of that. It's not of us, that same-sex marriage, that sin and all those kind of things. How many know sin is the cause, the sin of neglect? This nation of the Christian I blame myself and every one of us as Christians. We are to be doing, have done more, and maybe we would not have seen what we've got. But it's time to fill up and go. It's time to fill the oil and go. Now, so here we find that this unclean spirit went out, was cast out. Then he goes and he's got no place to work. So he goes and gets seven others more wicked than himself, and he comes in and repossesses that vessel that he came out of. How many sees that? He comes and repossesses it. Now, what's the state of that vessel now? It's not empty anymore. It was empty. It was ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It was ready to be filled with the Word of God. It was ready to be filled with God's blessing. But now it's occupied by this unclean spirit and seven others more wicked than he is. Now, I want you to listen to this real close. Now, how many can see a terrible danger of being empty? Somebody said, well, I'm clean. I got saved. Big deal. Fill up now. Don't stay empty. That's a dangerous thing that there is, to be empty, because one thing, you don't have anything in there to fight with. You're discouraged, you're down in the dumps, and things ain't going to suit you. And you know, it just gets that way. Things on your job doesn't work out right. Things in the home gets messed up. Your children do this and that and something else. Of course, this is going to happen to a certain degree anyway, but we don't need to be empty. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the power of God. There is a resolution to the problem. So, it's a horrible state to be empty. Now, let's go back to the 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, and let's look at these 10 virgins. That means pure, clean, 10 of them. How many knows that's what that means? So, these weren't bad people. These were 10 virgins. Verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Then that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So there's 50% of them empty. Now, but the wise took oil, but they did. They now, later on, they said, we just got barely enough for ourselves. We can't loan you any. Huh? You know, there's a borrowing spirit in our land. How many knows that? If you don't believe it, just look at the national debt. $20 trillion are looking at us in the face now. And they want to borrow more. More. That's a borrowing spirit. I remember when the United States didn't owe one dime to any country. Other countries owed us. But that was when we was a great nation. That was when great people was leading it. Listen to it. Five wise, five foolish. These wise ones, they said, we have barely enough for ourselves. Now, they had been neglecting too, but they skimped through it. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 1. And the five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So they're dead on arrival. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. So they took oil in their vessels with their lamp. Now, they said that oil was in the vessels with their lamps. That has a significance. I may not get to that. But while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, here we are. Guess what? What did this do? You know, the disobedience, the not having everything filled up, not having everything right, it put them to sleep. And then, as we said before, the biggest part of the church is asleep now. So the wise took their oil with their vessels. And it says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now, the number one thing about having a light, you have to have the wick trimmed to be proper. And if you don't have, if you get one side lower than the other, it'll probably break the globe. You see, I used to study my lesson by a lamp. I know all about that. We didn't have electricity where I lived at that time. We didn't have running water inside. We didn't have all these things that people's got today. But anyhow, they all trimmed their lamps. But now, wait a minute. There's a picture that's not right here. Those that had the oil in their vessel, they had something to put in the lamp. And when they trimmed their lamp, then the light shined when they lit the lamp. And those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. So we're just almost all empty ourselves. We just got barely enough. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You know, that was the punishment of neglect. What a horrible thing it is to face punishment for neglect. When you stand before God, and we do it all the time, we've all, you know, we fail God some way or other, and we stand before Him, and He'll point out that neglect. You have neglected to pray. You have neglected to go to church. You have neglected this and you've neglected that. The sin of neglect. See, people don't think about that. They just think, if you don't cuss, if you don't chew tobacco, and you don't drink whiskey, and you don't do this, and you don't do that, well, you're a pretty good fella, so you're going to make it in. Wait a minute here. You got to have oil. You got to have a lamp. That's the word of God. How many know? David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, we're going to walk down the path. And the word is a lamp and a light. We got to have the light lit. So the word holds the oil. Oh, I'd like to get into that. God's given me something on the Holy Ghost that's really where it's just a different slant than I've ever seen it before. But I can't get into it now. All this brings, don't you know there's a horrible feeling there? Give us some oil. And the others say, we'd like to, but we just barely got enough for it. We just can't do it. See, at our best, we're going to barely make it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So there's a great danger here. I'm seeing this in the church. See, God has given me things to try to salvage the church, the true church, to get them where they're going to stick together. Now, the last time I was down here, and I'm still working on that book, and I've got so much more on the breach and the restore the path. The rogue and the breach has got a hole in it. It's not connected. But there's power in things that's connected in strength. And there's only one breach. You know, I put it first in my book, breaches. No, there's only one breach. There ain't a whole bunch of breaches. You know what that breach is? Sin. Sin's the breach. It started with sin. That breach. That breach is still going. But say, we want to define, say, this is a little bitty sin and that's another sin. Well, God will take care of that if He wants to let this and buy and everything. But we better take care of what we've got, because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves empty. We're going to find ourselves miserable. We're going to have ourselves with a horrible feeling. That's going to be a horrible day when the Lord comes, and we're not ready. There is a thing, though. There is a way. There is a way. The Lord will make that way. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, death is caused by sin. The day you sin, you die. That's what He told Adam. So this thing here that we're talking about now is we've got to get filled and filled with the right thing. And if we don't, we're going to meet Him at a horrible time with a horrible experience on the inside of us. So let's find out the resolution to all this thing that we're talking about. It's got to be resolved. So the only thing that we can do, if the vessel's empty, it's cleansed, it's pure, the only thing that we can do is we seek to be filled with God. My wife sings a song, filled with God. Now, what did God do? We seek first, Matthew 6:33, and you've heard me preach on this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, what was their problem in Matthew 6, above 33? What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? What did he say there? Matthew 6, 33. Will you turn that and read it with me? Now, this is the solution to all these problems. If you've got any kind of a problem in the church, in the home, on the job, or just a problem, you know, that you, where you've got to where you're weak in the Lord and you feel disrupted, you feel distressed and all those kind of things, this is the solution. It's the only true solution that I could find. You can take medication and it'll make you feel better for a little while. Do you feel better? And you know, another thing too, people get down and pray and seek God. And you know what people are going to ask them? Do you feel better? Oh yeah, I feel better. Well, they shed a few tears. You know what they got rid of? They got rid of the conviction. Huh? But that's not where it ends. We're supposed to be converted. Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as the wheat. But when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. When you're converted. See, God wants us to get fully converted that we're able to strengthen one another. I hope that what I'm saying this morning is strengthening you. I'm not criticizing you. I want to strengthen you. I want God's word to empower you. God give me this. He didn't give it to me to preach over at the first church of the rock music. He gave me to preach it to you, which is, I feel like, is people that's ready to take it out and use it and help get other people straightened out that's got terrible feelings, sickness, double mind. One day they're going to do one thing, next day they're going to do something else. That's not it. We got to get on the rock. We got to build our foundation upon the rock. Matthew 6:33. See, here's the answer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which we really long for in our heart. Our heart is crying out for this, but we just ain't letting him in. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is provided for by our Master Jesus Christ. That's the reason he died upon the cross, buried in the tomb. Now, there's more to it, just dying. You know, people leave him on the cross, but he died upon the cross. They took him and buried him in a tomb. He was resurrected. That's the main, he was resurrected. Then he ascended on high. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He said, if I go to the Father, I'll pray the Father will give you another comfort. And what was it he sent? The Holy Ghost. He already had sent the Holy Spirit. That's the word. So what does the Holy Ghost represent? Now here I am getting into it. I said I wouldn't do it. The difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. It takes a death before it's the Holy Ghost. So Jesus died upon the cross, ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, prayed the Father to send the Holy Ghost to you. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they wasn't all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Don't get that tangled up. Now, that brings us into Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. What? A living sacrifice. So that's a dead flesh. You sacrifice this body, you live this thing, and it sacrifices the flesh. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The next word said holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The next thing says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't get mixed up with this junk in the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when you're in the perfect will of God, you're a happy Christian. Under every circumstance that the devil throws at you, you are happy. You've got joy. Because the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, and this is the answer. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's another thing, you see. When we're upset and tormented and upset and everything, we eat too much. How many knows another cup of coffee and another chunk of food is not going to help us? He didn't say be you full of coffee and food. be ye filled with what? The Spirit. Be full of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus hadn't been glorified. The Holy Ghost hadn't been given then yet. Because Jesus, what was it that glorified him? His death, his burial, his resurrection, his seating at the right hand of the Father. Then he was glorified. And the Father sent the Holy Ghost. He answered his request. How many knows he's still there? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's right there at the right hand of his authority. All you got to do to get in touch with him is just turn on your spiritual telephone. This here cell phone won't work, but I'll tell you what, that ear, that to hear what the Spirit has to say, there's also a voice of the Spirit of God that speaks through us, which is called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I know that some folks is going to say, you hadn't ought to speak that the Holy Ghost and the Spirit is not the same thing. Well, they are in general, but not exactly. How many knows Jesus and the Father is the same? In general, but not exactly. How many knows the Holy Ghost and Jesus is the same? But not exactly. Why? Because they've got an order of authority. Jesus said, he that sent me is always with me, for I do always the thing that pleases him. Now, he didn't say, he that sent me is always with me because I do always please myself. No, he didn't say that. If you do what a lot of people's preaching today, you have to rewrite the Bible. And that's why they rewrote it, so man could understand it. So the carnal mind can understand it. But that will not satisfy your soul. That will not satisfy my soul. It will not satisfy. The key to the whole thing is the Holy Ghost. It's the kingdom of God and His righteousness that's supposed to come on the inside of us, and it will guide us. It will lead us. It will empower us. It will take care of that thing that comes knocking on the door with these seven ones that's more evil than him. You can say, get gone, and they got to go. You can rebuke the devil. You have power over these things. God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above we all ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So the conclusion to this thing and the real message is Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets, word of John. Since that time, what's preached? Well, how many believe we're since John? Ain't you since John? I'm since John. What's preached now? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and had a great fall, and we all got into rock. I'm going to hit that rock here because that's one of the things that really is a spirit that's really getting to people. It really appeases the flesh. It's emotional. But see, the kingdom of God is preached. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. That's the message of the hour. And every man don't jump into it. He presses into it. Every man presses it. You know, God showed Peter, James, and John that on that mount in Matthew 17:5. We're supposed to listen to him. And the message is the kingdom of God. Moses was, Elias was, but Jesus is now, and the Holy Ghost is now, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if we get him in there strong enough, guess what we've got? We've got all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we can tell the devil where to go. In this provision, God can fill us with God's life of his Son. When the kingdom of God comes in, we are filled with what satisfies us. As long as we keep that in there, we feel strength, we feel power, we feel anointing. See, God's not going to anoint everything. He's not. How many believe God's going to anoint an empty vessel? No. Well, it's clean. No. What does God anoint with? Acts 10:38. Write that down and read. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, God anointed Jesus himself. What did he anoint Jesus with? God didn't anoint Jesus with himself then, did he? He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost and power. What did Jesus do then? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, all these things that I talk about, he heals all them if the anointing's there. God wants us to have the anointing in the church, in our life, in our soul, in our spirit. God wants us to have the anointing at home. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. What did he do? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Now that explains how God did right there. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the third person, the Holy Ghost. And the second person went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because the first person, God, was with him. Don't that explain the Godhead to you? Or am I stupid? That explains it to me. Just that one verse. Then when you get St. John 7:38, you get another revelation, and pretty soon you can put it all together. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, they all were filled with what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because they was empty and hungry. They didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost, and that's usually about the best one, you know, that can get the Holy Ghost quicker than anybody else. There's some that don't know anything about it. We have a lot of folks today that have the answer to everything, and they really know nothing about the answer. The answer is Christ. The answer is the power of God. The answer is the Holy Ghost. The answer is the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And if those be in us, our experience with God will be a satisfactory experience with us. It will make your enemies be at peace with you. They'll have to come to peace with you. I'm going to quit right there.